And I guess he wasn't technically an incel if he died of syphilis. I think it's a conspiracy that he died of syphilis, and he actually, God just destroyed his mind because he didn't want Christians to hear what he had to say.
Well, tragically,
what do you think about what do you think about Nietzsche being 20-year-old's favorite philosopher, though?
I think that that's accurate.
Yeah,
I think he's.
Yeah, it's like the last 10 years of his life.
I think a lot of people just read him in when they're 20, and then they get really excited, and then if they're, they'll either move on and end up following a more pragmatic career, or they just move on to like other philosophers, or they become Richard Spencer and just stay at Nietzsche.
Yeah. He did go back to live with his mother for the last 10 years of his life, but then she died.
No, I think I can understand why, though. I mean, like, if you think about pretty much any of the other major philosophers, except for Plato and a handful of others, reading them isn't exactly a lot of fun, right? I mean, nobody's going to go through the Critique of Pure Reason and think like, God, I feel deeply inspired by this. It's mostly going to be like, what the fuck is this saying? Whereas you read Nietzsche and he almost creates a compact with you saying, you know, my readers have not yet come and they're going to be fantastic people and it's accessible and violent and filled with like stuff that seems superficially easy to understand. Like, I totally get it, right?
Of course.
And it covers like a lot of the existential issues 20-year-olds deal with, right?
Exactly.
You can sort of, you can tell he's been propped up.
You guys don't know this about me, but I was an adamant radical, not a radical, an adamant Kantian before I read Nietzsche, and
were
then
you
I
really?
Had like really? I had a crisis as a 20 year old.
You were fucking Kantian at first?
Oh yeah, I was eating that shit up. Like Critique of Practical Reason, I viewed this thing as the Bible as a 20-year-old. So you can't really trust 20-year-olds because they believe everything they read.
Yeah, of course.
But not the worst Bible.
I think it was Twilight of the Idols or The Gay Science that I read, which I have right here actually. But I read that and it just shattered my world. I was like, morality's not real. You can't trust. I had an AJ Soprano moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like your gateway drug to post-structuralism? Because then you became like a Derridian, a language philosopher guy after that?
Yeah, I've had my Nietzsche phase, my Heidegger phase, my Derrida phase.
We should also be pretty, I feel like we should be a little bit more precise too when we talk about 20-year-olds. We're really talking about 20-year-old men, specifically. I think it's worth being specific.
Yeah.
What did you say in Thus Spoke Zarathustra or Thus Spake Zarathustra, depending on how you translate it? There's that one woman who says to Zarathustra, like, ghost out a woman, make sure you bring a whip. And I found out later on that he wrote the book after his lover of sorts, not even really because she had ditched him, had just dumped him to go off on a vacation with their mutual buddy. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is where like the insult then comes out strong.
That wasn't Wagner's wife, was it?
Well, that was a tragic. Another tragic thing that so many 20-year-old men go through, right? Being in the friend zone with some chick that he's hanging out with all the time, but doesn't actually want to be with him.
Getting
what was her name?
Dumped. Getting friend zoned.
Was it Lou Salome, or is that?
Yeah,
just
that's
in
it.
My head
that's it. Yeah, Lou Salome. Okay.
Well, I read like some article about her where she was describing Nietzsche like years later, because she went and became a very successful person herself, right? Particularly influenced by psychoanalysis. But somebody used to ask her like, "So, what was it like spending time with Nietzsche?" And the sense that you got from her is she was like, smart guy, but like I was 20 years old and I wanted to go out and have a party and basically engage in like kinky activities across of Europe. And this guy was like, no, we need to stay up, not drink, not do all that. The important thing is to talk about philosophy all the time.
Yeah, he was an ascetic, I think. No alcohol, no drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like the opposite of Nietzsche.
And then Lou Salome, when she was way older, became a groomer and started philandering with Rilke, the poet.
Really?
Heidegger said he was like the best poet. This is all coming from my memory, so I haven't checked. It might be full of shit, but no, she moved around the intellectual crowds in Germany for sure.
Yeah.
Did she do writing as well, Matt? I'm not sure.
But I'm not sure.
Here's in the chat, here's that famous photo of Lou Salome and Nietzsche, and she's holding a whip for some reason.
There you go.
She wanted to get kink, and he was...
Exactly. This is it, and he's looking a little bit apprehensive.
He was in the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, he got spurned by her, and then that's why we call him an incel, in jest.
Exactly.
Although dying from syphilis, he probably contracted it during the Franco-Prussian War, I think is the theory that I heard. Either died of syphilis... or God destroyed his brain. the jury's out.
I think pretty much for the whole 1890s, he was out, because his last books came out in what, like the 1880s?
Yeah.
And then he went back to live with his mother, and then his mother died, and his sister, Elizabeth, took over caring for him, and she was like a big anti-Semitic, like Wagner. So she like basically made his work into what would be taken up by the Nazi party and National Socialism.
There's actually a video of Nietzsche in his brain dead state.
Really? Oh, it's creepy as fuck.
Probably the first philosopher on video.
It's just him, like 10 pounds of mustache, and he's just like looking off into the void. The void's probably looking back at him, but we don't know. And he's just, oh my God, he's brain dead. He looks like someone you just have to like spoon yogurt into his open mouth for the rest of his life.
Have you guys heard this other bit of hearsay? And then we'll get to it. But all this hearsay is fun. I don't know if this is true or not. It sounds like American propaganda, but I heard from somewhere, sometime along the line, that whereas American soldiers carried the Bible, or they were all given a Bible as part of their like service kit, meanwhile, the German soldiers were given a copy of Thus Spake Zarathustra.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Really?
I mean, this sounds like it's like the forces of good against the
dark easily, armies. I feel like we could easily verify that by doing a quick Google search.
Yeah, that's a little too nice.
I almost don't want to know the answer, though. I just want to like believe in this American propaganda.
Like,
we're the moral ones. And they read Nietzsche.
That's a little too nice. Yeah, we gave our soldiers morphine, and they gave their soldiers Nietzsche.
Well, if it doesn't
Which
kill
one
you, it
was
makes,
worse?
Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger, yeah. Right?
And if you get addicted, fuck you.
Deal with it, boy.
But the fact, like, just the thought that every Wehrmacht German soldier is like thinking of themselves as this triumphing overman. Conquering the world.
The Übermensch.
In the name of Nazism, which Nietzsche is associated with because of his bitch sister, but...
Yeah.
That's an important concept. We'll definitely have to Übermention that one.
All right.
I'm becoming a dad. Not really, but I'm practicing.
All right, where do we want to start?
That's a good question.
Like, we should separate... There's two interpretations here, at least. Because we're making fun of him for being the 20-year-old's favorite philosopher, which is legit because he's so accessible. But
Nietzsche is multiple.
But Heidegger, like Heidegger's longest book is on Nietzsche. Deleuze writes on Nietzsche.
Foucault's entire method is modeled after Nietzsche's, Derrida's into Nietzsche, especially that earlier work on the truth and morality, on truth and lying in a non-moral sense. Was a major, that's the one where he delivered his truth is a mobile army of metaphors, metonymies, and anthropomorphisms. That was a big one.
Yeah, historiography, religious studies, theology.
Environmentalism, there's an environmentalist Nietzsche. There's a queer feminist
Maybe we should start.
There's a far right Nietzsche.
Here, I'll start
maybe
with this.
Maybe we should start with...
I'll start reading the beginning of Deleuze's book on Nietzsche.
Okay.
The concept of genealogy. Nietzsche's most general project is the introduction of the concepts of sense and value into philosophy. It is clear that modern philosophy has largely lived off Nietzsche, but not perhaps in the way in which he would have wished. Nietzsche made no secret of the fact that philosophy of sense and values had to be a critique. One of the principal motifs of Nietzsche's work is that Kant had not carried out a true critique because he was not able to pose the problem of critique in terms of values. And what has happened in modern philosophy is that the theory of values has given rise to new conformism and new forms of submission.
So for what's he saying there? Something like for Kant, critique is oriented towards what we can know about the world and truth. And morality is just one of those sorts of transcendental truths. As in, if we're operating...
Well, when he says values, I don't think he's talking about moral values specifically.
Well, it's Christian moral values and the slave morality and ethics. Like, that's all sort of tied up in values, like what we hold dear, right? And truth becomes a value in a sense.
I think I have a different interpretation. I'm not sure if he means values in terms of morality precisely alone. Like, that's the subject of the transvaluation of values or whatever. But for him, the notion of values is more generally historical, or historicist, I should say, in interpreting history, and that values don't, that are like everything's a value. There are no facts, really, because everything has to be placed in its historical hermeneutic, I think. So everything's interpreted is Nietzsche's line, whereas Kant's value system is saying there's things that are not interpreted. Like the
but there are also no truths separate from human perception. That's another thing. Yeah. He's a big aesthetics guy. Aesthetics in the old sense.
He's a radical historicist.
Well, the way I see it, actually, because he sometimes characterized himself as an anti-Platonist, right, and denigrated Christianity as Platonism for the masses, right? But if you one way to interpret Plato, and I think this is the way Nietzsche does that, is Plato has this very interesting theory, which is that all good things, and I'm meaning good colloquially, go together, right? Truth is related to justice, which is related to beauty, which is related to eternity, which is related to God, and all these things can kind of be synthesized together, right? And the course of Western philosophy has essentially been to show that these things not only don't go together, but they all might be empty or self-justifying, right? And so the modernist revolution from Hume onward basically says, well, actually, there's this stark distinction between facts and values, and you might be able to know facts, but value judgments are independent of that, and they're primarily based on subjective orientations, affect, and so on and so forth. And Nietzsche's total critique seems to be saying that actually even the notion of truth, now that we've abandoned our Platonism, needs to come under scrutiny. And he actually refers to this kind of Platonic language of values as being together, I think, to kind of highlight how far we've come from this original idea that all good things are a kind of unity.
Yeah, truth, morality, aesthetics, goodness, all of this is a conceit that comes out of history and a particular history. That's the thesis of the genealogy of morals. So just to give our listeners a mental template here, Nietzsche has a long shit list. Judeo-Christianity, if you want to lump those two together, are on the shit list. Liberalism is on the shit list. Any philosophy that is after Plato is on the shit list.
Democracy
is on the shit list.
Socialism. Science.
And so what's the problem with all this stuff? Yeah, socialism's on the shit list.
Yeah, communism, science.
Everybody except for truth. Like Homeric heroes, like Achilles.
He liked Voltaire.
No, he likes the samurai. He likes the Vikings. He likes the Romans.
Napoleon.
He likes Napoleon. He likes Homer. Goethe. And he likes the old Greek tragedies. He liked Wagner, but then he started hating Wagner, but he fell in love with Wagner's wife.
So I think it seems like a lot of these critiques come from this place that Nietzsche always wants to invoke this category of like, life affirming, like some sort of instincts for life, some sort of vitality. I don't know, like, well, how would you guys, like, it's a bit ambiguous, but that's often what he invokes. He says that these other things like morality, they're like suppressing like the true instinct for life, or this vitality, or this kind of like ability for the human to achieve a kind of self-mastery or an overcoming. That's where the idea of the overman, I think, comes from.
It is. It's a little bit like Stoicism and nihilism put together. Like it's acknowledging that suffering is inevitable and we shouldn't base our worldview on trying to avoid suffering. And on the other hand, that it's a celebration, a sensual celebration of the sort of living life to its fullest.
Yeah, I'll talk about like
he's true, the wild man in that sense.
True human instincts. That's why I think 20-year-olds, like, this is actually, I think, the part where like the 20-year-olds get attracted to him, right? Because I think everything we set up to this point, it's like maybe not necessarily clear, like, well, why would 20-year-olds like it? But it's because of this claim, right, that all these things that you're being told are bullshit and they're like hiding and suppressing our true potential to be these like self-overcoming, like fucking awesome, like, I don't know, like alpha male dons. Exactly.